Blog Talk Radio. let no thought be your enemy. I've never felt so good. I'm as happy, happy, happy as any man could be.
To continue the process of claiming our identity and setting the standards for our people of color would not be controlled by the old slave master and its covert racism. No other race of people, no Jews, no Indian, no Chinese, let an outside invader control their community in a way that is harmful and poison our people and incorporate bias, prejudice, and bigotry in the standards and racial profiling and willfulness to terrorize our community and do psychological damage to our children every day and destroy our culture with their commercial and their exploitation of their TV programs. They facilitate tyranny. They have developed the standards of what they call terrorist actions. And so if you don't develop an economic program and promote it, if you don't organize your race with a political program and promote it, and if you don't get the conscious level to understand this hostile enemy is not turning back, and you try to promote racial harmony, you're out of your damn mind. You're out of your damn mind. You can't even do it on Sunday when everybody's supposed to be praying. It is time for an African revolution. It is time for an African revolution. Any people with dignity and respect would have a revolution of economics. The fundamental purpose of revolution means complete constructive change. We need complete constructive change. We are not just Africans in America, we are Pan-Africanism. Pan-Africanism means you understand that right across the water, nationwide, this world is full of people who look like you, from Brazil to Jamaica to Haiti to all of the Caribbean islands and the 54 nations of Africa and Hawaii, and everywhere you look, you are. But you had not developed the technique to see yourself, because you don't want to talk revolution, because you don't want change, which is the solution. You want to concept with your soft heart, or can we all get along? You still listening to Rodney King. No, you can't have a commitment to develop your enemy army against you, your enemy police department against you, your enemy courtrooms against you. That's not an effective revolution. Children must be trained leadership from birth to control their own, to achieve their own goals, to understand nationhood and a higher idea of what nationhood is from their own standards that you're committed to develop. We're a dynamic people, but we have helped every race of people self ourselves. Right now, if you walk out your damn house, you're going to get some gas from a foreigner gas station. You're going to buy some Chinese food from a Chinese. You're going to take your cleaning, which you've been washing white folk people clothes all your life, to another race of people to wash your clothes who don't live in your community and don't love your children, and you're going to help improve their children's lifestyle. We got children graduating right now from all the colleges and institutions around this country and come back and have to work at Walmart because we ain't developed the corporations. We ain't opened these old buildings up. We studied being trying to buy a damn Ferrari, Porsche, and a Rolls Royce, a big house, and our kids come back from college like Carter D. Woodson put in the Miseducation of the Negro with nowhere to go but to a white man to ask them for a job, which means that damn degree and that education don't mean nothing because that white man is going to hire his daughter, his nephew, his son, and after that he's going to hire his people. Ain't nothing all right until black men and black women, Africans, participate responsibly in doing something for self. And if you're going to start talking economics, you got to talk about building a group to defend it. It ain't a white man that build a bank and don't have a guard at the door. It ain't a white man that build a mansion and don't put cameras on it first. It ain't a white man that build a nation and don't develop a defensive mechanism to keep people from taking what you build. Stop being scared of building a black army that could protect your community and when it's time for self-defense, carry out their duties in self-defense with the logic of saving their mother, father, sister, cousin, auntie, and their community. We need to be baptized in economics, baptized in culture, baptized in a new political mindset with the logic of doing for self. You better act as the Jewish race and be aware of who you are and constitute and build a constitution and develop a mindset that you don't need your enemy for you to reach your goal. The COINTELPRO said a job was to neutralize the rise of a black messiah and to neutralize black organizations from organizing and participating and working together. The injustice the FBI did along give me the right to get on this phone tonight and teach respect to this group of people that have been so beat up, so lynched, so murdered, so raped. The determination for us not to fall any deeper into a coma is a blessing. And this is a period and a time where we don't have to take back door, apologize to nobody for our focus. You better get on the advanced liberation team and develop the mindset of self-help and start identifying yourself as an African and understand clearly that's all you need. And when you get to this crossroad, don't go right, don't go left, go straight. You got the right after all the hell you done took for 450 years to organize and discover the power in yourself. You are an empire in an empire.
Fist up for the one that got away. When we left for dead, you're the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey. The only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights and you stand, watching for the man, pouring drugs in your land, guns in your hand. Yes, man, though, COINTELPRO. Don't he open any letters, hit this with the COINTELPRO. Whips and chains, whips and chains. Been around waiting for the shit to change. Your point finger's not at, just complain. Started didn't fight, just stripped to blame. Kids getting off for murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders, what the fuck you expect? Violence is the beat, only thing you respect. I watched news clips today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror, just drop bombs. Some mothers and their kids, yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. So Bobby cut my neck, so they wouldn't shoot. They weapons, seen his mama get the news, yeah, it's all right now. Now, whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way, slaying whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a solid. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a solid. Whips and chains,
some bread, but you'll never get a stop. Crips and blood, pimps and thugs. Somebody kill their brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Racism, segregation in LA. Fed kids on the schools with the hate. Chase the Panthers out of state. Whoa, one go inside a run. Tortured that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spread propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to sell. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton, the inner city. Building unity with gangs. They working with him. CIA agent. Everything they could to flood the hoods with heroin. At the same time, that's the way our heroines but I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Drug Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then they shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, the American way. Plays whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, the American way. Plays whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill King, kill X, kill Fred.
She escaped, you put a bounty on her head.
Poison water in the air and the food.
We already dead, so what else we got to lose?
Once we realize the power that we have as a people and put our minds together, we unite to defeat you. Question lies they teach you. No conform to authority, cause under uniforms, human bonds I bleed to. No justice, no peace, what the people say. The indigo's finna go rise and lead the way. 154 cops, but where's that for Trayvon, Grant Rice, Mike Brown, and Freddie Gray? I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Everybody's
known,
now they wanna
sign
and touch us
about
the revolution, yeah, it's about to start right now.
I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and in the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty.
Whips and chains, the American way, slaves, whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, the American way, slaves, whips and chains. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter.
We give each other love. Oh, I know he's your friend, and don't you dare deny him. The Almighty God has put us here for Black Revolution at this hour. I want to welcome you to Black Power Radio. I'm your host, Sheikh Imam Akbar Abdullah Kareem. We're in the beautifully, adorned and potentially fair city of Washington, D.C. We're here for yet another episode of Black Power Radio. We have the most informative radio talk show on the internet, on your smartphone, dumb phone, paranoid, Android. Some of you may have come in through Twitter, Glitter, and some came in by LinkedIn and linked out. But even if you came in with Facebook with no look and sidebar on Instagram with no ham, we have the most informative radio talk show on the planet Earth for what we're doing today called Black Revolution. You heard earlier from our ex-chairman Hashim Akhenaten in Zynga. And if you've noticed throughout the history, nobody has used that name, Akhenaten, with a public figure until the coming of our beloved brother, the most honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. We're going to talk tonight about the time and what must be done. The time to move. You are in a time, an era of move. They bombed the move and wiped out an entire city block of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And no one moved. He said, you dead when you don't move. You don't motivate to action, you die. It's better off to be dead than not stand up at this hour for your Black Revolution. You might as well be dead without an education, or say without their education. Huh? You already dead, because you're dead mentally and morally dead. You're psychologically dead to the reality of yourself. You are dead to the sensitivities of yourself, and there is no possibility for you getting up to compete with anything for anything, because you're dead to your Black Revolution. Oh, the time of which must be done to stand up for Black Revolution and be a Black revolutionary. Oh, it ain't nothing better to be on the planet at this hour. You can look around for it. You can search the secret stall. You can go on with the young and the restless. You can creep up to the edge of night, huh? And go on down in the valley called Big Valley, up and down New Hampshire, and down the stroke to Beverly Hills. You can go to South Beach, Florida, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Or you can go to Atlanta, Chicago, New York. You ain't going to find nothing there that doesn't tell you that it is the hour of Black Revolution. So I just want to thank you all for joining us tonight on Black Power Radio. We have so many hosts in the queue. It's about to, you say, my cup, what? Runneth over, right? So we are overflowing tonight. We have in the house to hit this thing off for our beloved brother, James Muhammad has passed. I want you all to seek some form of condolences. We want to extend our heartfelt condolences to the family of James Muhammad in Jacksonville, Florida. He was a longtime minister of education, and under duress, he fought and won. He was a scholar about 10 zillion light years before his time, but he was on time for the Black Revolution, and we appreciate and love him so much, and we are celebrating the life and the legacy of the Honorable James Muhammad tonight, and all that you would like to say tonight, you can get it said. There's going to be open line, open forum. Get your ideas on the table. We'll be discussing the Haitian Revolution and the current. We're going to get the updated revolution, and we're going to hear from one of our revolutionaries who's been working all day and night on the revolution, and she is live with us, and I'm here to tell you, she is live in New York City. I think some are calling it New York City, but nevertheless, you know exactly what I'm talking about in New York City, New York. We want to go live with our beloved sister, who's right on the set. She's rocking the set from New York and Manhattan tonight. We want to present the Honorable Dr. Critical Race Truth Bay, who is live on the scene in New York. headed for the United Nations on my mind. Come on, you're live on Black Power Radio, and we're going to welcome you to Black Power Radio. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight. Our beloved host, Dr. Critical Race Truth Bay. Thank you.
All right, Black Power, Black Power, Black Power, family. What is crack-a-lacking today?
Oh, mama.
Yes. So as National Chairman just mentioned, I am in New York, yes. And we are taking part of the 68th anniversary of the Commission of the Status of Women, where the United Nations have always held this event and represented all nations and races. But for some reason, the African woman, the African woman experience, or just the African Hebrew woman, if you want to be more specific, their plights, our pain, our trauma, just has not been represented at all in most fashions. And so this year, I'll make sure other with Empress Chief Filet, we're actually working on the Million Woman World March. So we're simultaneously in the Zoom and on here. So we're doing double duty, triple duty. I mean, revolution never sleeps. But this is a year that we are going to represent the Black woman and child like never before. All too often, Black family, we are overlooked. All too often, we are distracted with our own people that are tearing us down. And we gotta stop it, family. We gotta start working together and making things happen in a sense where others, our children, our nieces, nephews, our younger generation is looking to us for solutions. And so I'm so grateful to see that this year that many of us are coming together in our own right, because we are at war, Black family. This is not even an option. If we're not geared right now to protect ourselves, self-defense, and create our military and start executing these strategies in these cities that so hate the very essence of our being. I mean, it's no secret. You know, the original woman and the original man, the powers that we possess, it's no secret. That's why we are sought out to be incarcerated, killed, and just do away with. But the more that they try to oppress us, the more that we rise up and come together as a nation. So I'm so grateful to be on the East Coast. It's a little cold out here, you know, but get used to the weather. You know, miss the California oranges for a minute. But you got to do where revolutionary calls you. You got to go where it calls you. And for 11 days or so, we'll be representing Black women, our not only here nation, but in the country of Haiti as well. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on in the show. But we also are grateful to have you join us on Black Power Radio, where we are the most informative radio platform, or any platform for that matter, right here, twice a week. We also will be on Shabaka's Black Experience, our shared and new day liberation with Empress G on Saturday. So we share the platform of Black Revolution with our neighbors. But right here tonight, we're going to have an open forum, and we want to hear from you. Last week and a week before, we had such a powerful interview with Africa Move 9, the remaining members talking so eloquently about John Africa and the spirit of who he was and the horrific, horrific genocide that they tried to occur on, they saw the Nature Movement on 1985 in Philadelphia. And so we also spoke about Mumia Abu-Jamal. There'll be some more updates with that. But again, his birthday is coming up, and we are coming together to share birthday greetings and sharing love on how much that we appreciate Mumia for standing firm in the circumstances that he is. But he's getting older, you know. He's getting more ill as well. And we definitely got to show the love and have him set free. We cannot also remain while we have A-Trap Brown also that's behind bars, almost four decades some of our political prisoners or more has still suffered, and we cannot forget the legacy that they bring. And so let's continue to be proactive, family. And without further ado, I do have some of my sisters that's here on the line as well. And I am so grateful to have my queen, Asala from San Francisco. She is, what can I say about this lady? She definitely is boots on the ground, suffered the same fate as many of us in our youth. And she's here with us. So if you want to just chime in, Asala, we're going to revert the mic back to our host, National Chairman Shaky Mamako, Sister Ashe.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Black Power, sis, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it. Critical Truth, you know, just the fact that you stand on the spirit of truth, it's really everything, and that takes courage. And, you know, I've been asked to speak on warrior and what it means to be a warrior. And one of the attributes of a warrior is the spirit of courage. And many of us as a nation of peoples, we have lost the spirit of courage. And we must realize that in this time of war and spiritual war, is that it is now time to stand up and stand out. There's two type of terms that you can look into when you are in your position as a fighter, as a warrior, and myself am an abolitionist. And an abolitionist is someone who's born to abolish the injustices that is happening during these times. We whose souls are here today was incarnated and created to be here for the very purpose. It's a time and a place for all things. And we could have incarnated at any moment in time during life itself. However, the ancestors and the spiritual realm is chosen for us to be here is because we are the defenders of truth. Those who are in their positions of power, they're not going to give up their seats easily. They're going to fight by any means necessary, and we must do so just as well. Having the shield of protection spiritually is that when you out on that battlefield, you have to have the attributes of courage, and many of ourselves don't, is because we are so concerned about what we have accumulated spiritually, meaning accumulated materially, that we don't want to give up. You know, when you are a soldier on the battlefield, it says that you must release the load. If there is a ship and that ship is about to sink, you have to throw overboard that which is weighty. And that's what's happening now. To be in your position, to be ready to fight, you have to throw overboard what is weighty and holding you down. So, you know, I want to pass it back to you, Truth, you know, because we can go, I can really have a serious discussion about this as far as being a warrior, because has been my life.
Yes, there are a couple of sinking ships that we're going to be discussing coming up. The injustices of the court system, discrimination in our schools, just a few things that I want you to tell our listening audience later on during the show concerning how we need to combat these injustices. And this is something that's a nationwide problem. So we're going to talk about it, Black family. So stay tuned right here on Black Power Radio, and we relinquish the mic back to our host, Shaky Mamako.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I mean, we have had such a, a challenge here on this soil, but we were doing these things long before our interruption in our culture, and we have had so many interruptions in the culture, and the vicious enemy of ours on the ground is doing everything to block us from progress and success. And all of the inventions that we made on the ground actually run the modern world. And we made those inventions, made certain discoveries under duress, under complete duress, and a $0 budget. And our quest for reparations, then certainly, if you add $1 million to a Guarantee Morgan who would invent the traffic light, or to our beloved brother Lewis Latimer, the filament and the light bulb, and now Westinghouse, General Electric, are capitalizing on our progress, on our success, but we never got paid on our patents and our buildings of Dr. Benjamin Banneker. Think $1 million plus 5 acres. Oh, what great achievements he would have made. But under the duress of someone telling you, you're the dullest crown in the box. But I wanted to get another warrior right there on the line with you, if I can bring him up. And I'm reaching right now for our beloved brother who is, again, he's in New York, some call it New York, but he's our beloved warrior on the ground. Big warriors in New York, and he has just so much to share from the perspective of being a warrior. His name is Warrior. So welcome, big warrior in New York. We want to bring him to the line. He's there with the Honorable Dr. Critical Race Truth Bay, our National Minister of Justice, and we have our beloved sister in San Francisco, and we have a couple of others to open up. So go right ahead. If you're there with us, Big Warrior, you can talk black to us from New York City. Some call it the Big Apple.
Oh, yes, man. This is the New World Warrior. And I've been listening since the beginning of the program, and I'd like to reiterate that the divine African family or the divine universal African family is the greatest threat. So I understand why we will always be under attack. So what I'd really like to hit on is... Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's just a fact. But truth truth is what they fear the most. And if we live by it, as I've always said, love and truth are our weapons of mass reconstruction. I'm going to say it again. Love and truth are our weapons of mass reconstruction. And please don't get me twisted, because many folks think when I say love, I say love your enemy. No, learn to love your damn self for a change. That's never been tried before. Feel me? I mean, because it seems like we get things, simple things, twisted very badly. You want to love your enemy right. When he keeps his foot in your backside. Learn to love. And I broke this down to a brother the other day, and I don't think he understood until I broke it down. I said, I wanted to love ourselves so powerfully that when you see something like what happened with George Floyd, had I been there, I prayed I could have been there. So that when they had their knee on his neck.
Exactly.
If I had a brother at 3 o'clock, I would have gone to 9 o'clock and said, go to 3 o'clock and scream as loud as you can. Get your damn foot off that black man. As soon as all attention went to you,
that's right.
I ran as fast as possible through a full body block on Chauvin. And yes, I would have went to jail, but that black man would have lived, because you can't kill black folks in front of me. How do you get hundreds of people to stand by and watch your people get executed, to genocide committed in front of you with extreme ease, and we watch it like television? It's something has happened. I asked a simple question, and Dr. Tuesday can probably tell you that I called her this week and asked her about something that's just been burning my spirit, about how we can just take the reins back and never turn back over to any devil or any other race ever again. Because this is what we've got to start getting focused on and guarantee ourselves, because there'll never be peace on earth as long as Europeans are here. So don't waste your time looking for it, praying for it, hoping for it, because it ain't going to happen. As I've been saying consistently, I won't stop saying it. Bullies don't stop. They must be stopped. Just like that. And if you ain't prepared to do that, find yourself a local cemetery, pick your grave, and bury yourself, because I think your Bible says
that the dead 100%.
This is all I'm saying. So I don't know where we get these crazy notions from about thinking you can pray the devil away. It didn't work for 450 years. I don't think it's going to start working now. So it's time for us to be, as I said, since you've always been under attack, I was telling you all last week, let's launch a counterattack and simply back. That's it. Did you get that? Launch a counterattack and simply buy black. If you scared to strike a blow for liberation, if you're a punk, you can lock your pockets and spend your money with your own damn people by any means necessary all day, every day, as the kids say. Every day. Don't pay for your own genocide. I've said for many, many years that I ain't got no problem with the devil wanting me dead. But I'd be damn if I'm going to give you a $500 down payment and introduce you to the best hitman I know. So all I'm saying is, in the words of grandma, stop that and pay attention. Love y'all. I'm going to give it back to you, host. Take it over. I don't want to talk too much, but I want to introduce y'all to something a little later. I need some help Tuesday. I'm going under the knife to get operated on. And I need somebody that brave, so I don't end up going down like Dr. Collins and Steve Coakley under these devil's knife.
Oh, my.
Y'all, Sam, take it over.
Just extend that great support to our brother Big Warriors right there in New York. As a veteran, he has been denied his rights and denied much of what is owed him. See, they stole us and they sold us, but now they absolutely owe us.
Exactly.
I want to bring to the mic a brother who's another warrior who's rolling with the war in West Virginia, D.C.
Yes.
We actually have a young gentleman behind the wall. I'm sorry to interrupt, but when we have our youth behind the wall, they only have a limited amount of talk, so I wanted him to chime in on Black Power Radio.
Go ahead and bring him live, and following him will be Black Lightning. Go ahead, brother, behind the wall, Black Power.
Okay. And his name also is Joshua, as this is my son. Go ahead, Joshua.
Hi, my name is Joshua Jones. I am 36 years old. I'm African-American. I am seeking to, better myself as a man, to do better things in life.
Mm-hmm.
My mission, is to just elevate, and do better, and for the kids.
This call will be recorded and monitored.
Just stay focused. Go to school, get your education. Do what you gotta do to. Praise God and just stay out of trouble. that's my mission to.
That's what's up. So can you tell us, Joshua, go ahead. Wanted to find out how you got in that predicament and what have you learned and what you want to tell others concerning incarceration.
Well, right now I'm going through a mistaken identity situation right now. This case is something that can be resolved, but at the moment right now, I'm just at the beginning stage. I ended up bailing out last year. It was in April last year. I stayed out for about 10 months. Something happened with my ankle monitor and the bail bonds place surrendered my bond. So I went to court, and now I'm here, trying to do whatever I can to get out of this situation, to get back and fight my case from the streets.
Mm-hmm.
What was the last thing you asked me?
Well, just basically what your mission is. What is it you want to accomplish moving forward, as you see the past doesn't define the future? So what do you want young people to take away, learning from the experience that you went through?
Just stay focused and, put God first. My whole thing, this can happen to anybody. You can be just walking and, get stopped, mistaken identity. But just my mission now is just to, continue to take care of my family, take care of my kids, do right by God and, continue to push strong. That's pretty much it for right now,
Well, my son would like to say, having young children your age just as well, is that that I want to say is that there's a reason for everything, so you know. There's a reason for everything, and even though I hear you say that is mistaken identity, the bottom line is it has happened to you.
Right.
And things happen for a reason. And how you can look at it as, it can be a blessing in disguise. And I am
Correct.
Going to tell you why. Because you don't know, but we don't know, but you know a possibility of what direction you could have went. And because
right.
of this temporary, this is nothing but a temporary delay. And this temporary delay is something that gives you now an opportunity to go within yourself to say, okay, now what can I do different with my life? You understand?
Right.
If it could, something else could have happened that could have been worse. And so you have to look at that. And so nothing
that
happens by chance. You understand? So take this as an opportunity for you to go within yourself and to see what it is that you can better your life to move
right.
forward. So I will look
right.
at this as a blessing in disguise.
That's understandable, and I do get where you're coming from with this. I appreciate you know, everything that's coming from your ends. You know, because
mm-hmm.
anything can happen. You know, this could be something that this could be a wake up call to something else.
Mm-hmm.
This could be something
mm-hmm.
that God is just, you know, having
exactly.
me go through to experience at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Anything can happen. So I do look at that as, you know, hey, this might be just a little sit down for right now, get
mm-hmm.
back out, refocus.
Exactly.
Yeah, so these judges have a tradition in America because we're going to step you back, or we're going to step you back. And I listened to a wise man who said a setback or a pushback could be a setup.
Right.
For you to make a greater comeback, and your aspiration
mm-hmm.
right.
to be in a greater comeback, and always look at the glass, Brother Joshua, that's half full and rising. And when you look at that glass, you pick that clean glass you got and place it by his dirty glass, and the divine
right.
intervention will rise you up. It will raise you up. It will bring you to a perpendicular. You can stand firmly on your square. And you got
right.
so much that you can aspire to do, and
mm-hmm.
opening up all types of career development.
This call will be recorded and monitored.
And just to let you guys know, I do go to court tomorrow.
That's right. You go on in there and just take them. Give them your
well, our prayers is definitely
power.
Sit for you.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. The divine power will take care of the rest.
You're not alone.
No
yes.
I appreciate you guys so much.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. You'll be victorious. So we'll talk after in the next step of action after your court date, but
okay.
no more looking back. And make sure you tell my son as well
okay.
to keep his head up and stay focused
exactly.
and continue to be a light and a beacon for others.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I will. I'll call you tomorrow and I'll update you on what's going on. I need to speak to you about something else, but we'll wait until a more appropriate time to talk about that.
Okay, we will. So thank you for coming on Black Power Radio. At any time, our brothers are behind the wall. They get priority. So we appreciate you sharing your story.
Thanks a lot. You guys have a
yeah.
blessed day.
You
Bye-bye.
Too.
Yeah.
All right, Black Power. So that is where you have it.
Thank you for using Global Tellink.
Oh, right.
And
oh,
actually,
right.
that was his time, just in time. So I think it is gems like this, brothers and sisters, that we must remember to always keep our people in prayers in the forefront, because when you're behind that wall, for whatever reason, know that as a black person that they don't have to have a reason to put you there. Sometimes you're just there, and we got to advocate
mm-hmm.
as well, moving forward. Black power.
Black power, black power. I want to bring out our next co-host is coming out of the Washington metropolitan area, and he's a longtime a co-host here at Black Power Radio. And we're talking tonight on the time to move from their education to Black Revolution. I want to welcome Black Lightning to the live. He's at 301 at 682. And welcome to Black Power Radio. I hope he's there. At least he was there. All right. Bill and the mic. We'll run on out to the west side. I don't know, 301-682. 301-682.
The west side
okay.
is the best side.
West side. He may have pushed mute twice. Are you pushing mute twice, sir? We'll politely move on to 628-628 at 477. You're live. I think Sister Tanisha's out on that west side in that Oak Town right out there in the San Francisco Bay Area. Come live, Sister Tanisha, welcome to Black Power Radio. Hope I'm getting them. Hope there's not a studio malfunction on anybody's part.
No, that's Tanisha.
Oh.
She's on New Day with Filet. So like I said, she's multitasking as a
dual
brother
line.
Sensei should be coming on. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see if we can get him. And you all can carry on. San Francisco and New York, you got it. Power to the people.
Power to the people. So one of the things that we wanted to highlight today was an update concerning Haiti. Now, one of the issues concerning Haiti is the uproars and gang affiliation, so they say. It's gone to a point where they have taken a life of its own. And many of the gang members there, they have not been recruited on their own. It has been a hands of the United States. So we here tonight are going to give you the real skinny on what's really happening with the Republic of Haiti and who are the key players in order for us to help us facilitate.
Okay.
So one of the things that we are doing here at the United Nations is to have Haiti represented as a sovereign nation. Never before, even during the time of freedom in 1804, has it been recognized as a country that has its own autonomy. Since then, we have dared become the first Black Free Republic, and because of that, we are duly hated. And so the France decided that because we decided to set ourselves free that we are going to pay for it. Does that sound familiar? You have the Emancipation Slave Act that actually paid slave owners $300 per head of slaves when we were free here on this soil.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no different than in Haiti. But think about it in 10 or 20 times worse. To the point where the debt was so bad and nobody was advocating for Haiti when France wanted to double and triple dip, that we had to cut the trees down. Now when you look in the map, you'll see that Haiti's greenery has been down to darn near 10% compared to its neighbors in Dominican Republic. And all of that is because there has been no support system. So the United States currently, you know, since then in 1804, remember the height of the slave trade was still on and popping at the time. And so the fears of Nate, I done forgot his name. How can I forget the revolutionary thing? Black family, please chime in for me. Who was that revolutionary slave fighter?
It was Contour. What was the Contour? What?
No, Nate. Oh, my God. What is it?
Che Guevara?
No. Family, come on. It's right at the tip of our tongues. How can I get it? Shaky Mom, you have that? The name of the slave revolt?
Are you talking Nat Turner?
Oh, God, I'm going to come back. I'm coming back. I didn't
Nat Turner,
keep on
over to her.
Nat Turner.
The Nat Turner University.
We thought
that's
you
were
speaking concerning Haiti.
Our virtual.
Yeah, so.
It's the Nat Turner University on our virtual. Yes.
Yes. Nat Turner. So. That was a slip in the Freud of revolution family.
Okay.
So Nat Turner, you know, a lot of the revolts despised from that. And so moving forward, we had Henry Cristol, Toussaint Louverture, and Jean-Jacques Dessalines. Those are the three that actually shaped Haiti to be a republic. And their job, their mission was not to oust or disrespect other races. Their job was literally self-determination. So originally, that's where the Panther spirit really came. When you see that you have been downtrodden and you have just been hated and secured like an animal simply because of the color of your skin, that does something to someone.
And when it's become law, and if you think about it, sis, how many other races have laws based on the legality on how to treat you?
They
no
don't.
Other race has something called
no other race contract.
And
right,
so
none.
Because of this, we have a unique history in where we
mm-hmm.
have to have accountability. So Haiti right now, president, prime minister, self-appointed, his name is Ariel Henry. And Ariel Henry, just like many other Haitian presidents prior, are puppets of the United States, the United
mm-hmm.
States. And so they are paid to keep corruption. But why do you think it's just because, family? It's not just because we became the first Black Free Republic, but because Haiti possessed some of the most finest and most precious minerals, uranium. Can't tell you the countless amount of gold that has been disbarred, but copper, and just some notables as well. You have coffee, sugar, rice, but the main is the minerals. That's why IET is called Haiti, which means the Valley of the Hills, because there's so many hills and valleys in Haiti, so many rich soil that they want to continue to perpetuate in the media, that Haiti being the most the poorest country. It always leads the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. 9 times out of 10, if you hear news concerning Haiti, they will always lead with that. But that, again, that's smoke and mirrors, Black family. You don't
mm-hmm.
ever want to say in Africa, how many times does the media mention Mansa Musa? How many times did they mention the kings and queens of Africa, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you look
mm-hmm.
at the history books in our own schools, and that's where we're going to segue into currently our educational system, where Sister Salish is going to elaborate some issues going on with the San Francisco school system. But when
mm-hmm.
when our children are led in these Roman systems, they are taught that our history begins with slavery, right? I don't remember
yes.
growing up in public school that they taught us who we really were. So they
mm-hmm.
they do that and generalize and keep us the permanent underclass. And this
mm-hmm.
is why we got to change that around and start teaching our youth who they really are. So
mm-hmm.
Haiti is no
mm-hmm.
different. It's coming to a breaking point. So the three gentlemen that I'm going to mention, I want you to do your research, Black family, because you heard it here first on Black Power Radio, that there is absolutely no other option or what the Haitians want. And so what the country of Haiti, the Republic of Free Haiti, these three gentlemen are the freedom fighters that they would like in order to rebuild and restore Haiti's governance. First and foremost, it is Jimmy Cherizier. So let's first take a look at who Jimmy Cherizier is. He's also known as Barbecue. He, if you look at some of the news, understand that a lot of the media is part of the problem. A lot of the media goes there to report in real time to feed us things that are not actually true. Now, Jimmy Cherizier was he was a Haitian state police. He was a former police officer of the highest rank. He was born in 1977, and he had a legitimate job working in the Haitian government. But then when he kept seeing the same U.S. That are oppressing his people and taking advantage of the resources, he decided to quit the Haitian police. This was back in 2015, 2016. And he became to work for the people. That's where he formed a group called G9, called Jenner, G9 Family and Allies. And this was a federation of freedom fighters. It started out that way. But again, the U.S., and they did not want to leave, and they knew they had more power than the people at that moment. And they started financing more of the gang, starting recruiting the young boys, especially the orphans. That's the main target, is a lot of them, they would gravitate to the orphans and give them all these weapons, give them all the tools that they're using now to kill each other, and pay them
yes.
off so that way it could look like death and destruction. Now,
mm-hmm.
Jimmy Cherizier did not start the gang wars. The gang wars took a life on itself, just like the Bloods and Crips
everyone else that saw it. They usually take a life on itself when these atrocities take over. Now, when you see a lot of the murders in the media, it was really the national police. The national police, this is why you see a lot of times the U.S. always wants to fund the police of a country. That never works. Think about it. Since when funding the police on anything is always going to improve conditions for black people? Let's think about it.
It doesn't. Friends. It really doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And this will come with some interest just as well.
Yes, absolutely. But if you fund the race soldiers, as we say here, the slave catchers, as they were here, they are no different nationwide. They're there to work for the opposition, and that's what they're there to protect. But now it's gotten so bad that even the national police most of them have been killed off as well by their own civilians because we know they have caused most of the trauma. So all of this is why we're telling you in real time, family, do not believe 90% of what the media is putting out when it comes to Haiti. First and foremost, the Biden administration and the Clinton Foundation, they know that they are the biggest threat to Haiti because they have raped and pillaged over $1 billion. Just Hillary Clinton alone in 2016, after the 2010 earthquake, that's when the majority of these organizations flood down to Haiti in so-called relief efforts. And they did everything but relieve the people. They had even my mom, she was a retired nurse, and she actually was in Haiti when the time of the first and second earthquake. And as a nurse, she, thank God she survived, but she watched the devastation of her people, and she actually went proactive. At her age, she went into the woods where hundreds of thousands of families were not being shown by the media that were suffering and try to give aid then. But most of the aid came to the so-called big companies like the Red Cross, Elizabeth McGovern, and Food for the Poor. And then you have all these other small so-called faith-based groups that go to Haiti and so-called try to relieve it. But again, it was not a relief effort. So all of this is what Haitians have been seeing for years, and that's why they are tired of the lies and the distrust and the abuse of powers. So Jimmy Sherizier, and this is a good thing that happened just last week. So the first person we mentioned was Jimmy Sherizier Barbecue. The second person is Guy Philippe, also known as Guy Philip. So Guy Philip is also a freedom fighter that was used by the United States in the time of Aristide. This was in 2004. 2004, he actually ousted, he was hired to remove Aristide from president. Aristide was really the only first president of Haiti that was fighting for the people. The United States has gotten so hypocritical about their mission in Haiti that they used the Congressional Black Caucus, and you know who they are. Okay, they're the do-nothing Democrats that you see as a House, House of Representatives. You have John Conyers, the first and foremost of H.R. 40. We're not going to mention most of their names, but you got Senator Barbara Lee, Congressman Maxine Waters, Karen Bass at one point in time. So these were the faces that also knew what the United States was doing to Haiti. And what they would do, they didn't care whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. As I say, it doesn't matter the parties because they're both two sides of the same evil coin. They all want to go and plumage and rob and destroy the black family, destroy African energy. And what we see here, Guy Philippe in 2004, he was told to oust Aristide, and he was the one that told Aristide that if you didn't leave, that you were going to get killed. And so that's where you see that Aristide left for Africa at that time. I believe Jamaica at the time. And so now that was in 2004. So 20 years later, Guy Philippe, actually, he was released from jail. He was so-called accused of petty larceny. And guess who arrested him? It was the United States. The United States. So, of course, they released him on the notion, check this out, family. This is how cold it is. The United States released Guy Philippe from custody
in the United States he was, and said that if you go to Haiti to finish doing our bidding, you know, your charges are cleared. So that's why they released Guy Philippe. But when they released him in October, he started making rounds with his old freedom fighting partners and start getting the real information of what's been happening, and he joined forces. This is something we never thought. He joined forces with Jimmy Cherizier behind the scenes. So this is real-time data that I'm giving you, Black family. So this is probably about 2 weeks ago. So now you have Guy Philippe that the people love. You have Jimmy Cherizier that's a feared leader that also made a statement a week ago that he wants to change for the good, meaning change all the corruptionists in the governance for good. And the last but not least in this third party is Maurice Jean-Charles. Maurice Jean-Charles, also known as Moses John Charles in English. So Maurice Jean-Charles was a presidential candidate in 2015. He actually ran for La Famille Lavalas at one point in time, and he was ousted. I mean, he didn't get to that point because, again, at that time, he wanted to run legitimately for the people. But he was overwhelmed by Martelly at the time, who was, you know, he was a musician turned presidential candidate. And so now these three, Maurice Jean-Charles, Guy Philippe, and Jimmy Cherizier have joined forces to work together to create a three-member council to replace the president and the prime minister role of Haiti. This is what the people want. So if anyone, any Haitian American or any body that doesn't tell you this fact that we're telling you right now on Black Power Radio is an enemy of Haiti because they're not really trying to set the people free. All for too long, we're going to round this segment out. All for too long, people have lived in fear because of the U.S. government and what their power they feel they can do. But understand, Black family, it is power to the people. It is us that have more power when we come together. And that's why we must do away with distractions. We must know who you are, what you're worth, and then move forward together in silos and start building behind the scenes. We don't have to advertise everything, but we got to start working together and embracing each other's talent. That's the only way we'll win. So we're hoping that in November 2024 we'll actually get a election started away. It may be another year, but this is the direction that Haiti wants. So right here first, my portion of why I'm saying this, I stated I wanted to assist and run as prime minister for the country of Haiti because it's important that we have accountability, Black family, and that's why we need our power groups, our liberation groups, our revolutionary brothers and sisters in the state to be on code and work with each other because this is what Haiti needs. It's no different than here. And so the 90% Africans are there, are ruled by the mulatto and the children of the French, and so no different than South Africa and other countries. We have to have the African power to liberate the people. So there you have it. So anybody wants to chime in or any questions or comments concerning Haiti and what their thoughts are, your mic is open. Let's come
and go. They can talk about it. Every time they seem to be going in a direction to straighten out things, arising, there's a coup, there's the American interference of the Clintons, and there's a longer list of stuff that's been done to Haiti that hasn't been done to any people, subjected to all types of cruelty and chased down the beach on horseback. And I'm just saying that we should be pulling up to go in and make a difference in Haiti. And I'm going to try to open these mics up and see who else is right here on the line tonight that can give their explanation or they can give their questions and comments tonight. We're certainly happy. I think Sister Tanisha came Black to the mic, if I'm not sure if Black Lightning or any of those got back to the mic.
Sister Tanisha.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm on here.
I know you did go.
I'm here.
Welcome.
I'm calling from Tuxedo, California, y'all.
Go ahead. We're happy to have you.
Welcome, welcome, Sister Tanisha.
Hi,
y'all. Yeah,
I don't have any comments. I'm rocking with him. You know.
So your thoughts on what's happening with Haiti or in general, and then we're gonna go to
Go ahead to the next topic. I don't have any thoughts on it. He just called me to the mic, and I missed him last time, so I just let him know I'm here.
All right, all right. So we're going to talk about the traits of a warrior, which is why Haiti's in the forefront in probably one of the biggest wars of its life for freedom, and then we'll divulge more in some updates. But we're talking about our school systems as well, and we talked about exactly what they teach us, which teach our kids in the Roman school system. So.
Now, Europeans,
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. So, Sala, can you tell us a little bit about what's happening in the San Francisco school system and what that you see to this day that you need to change?
Okay, well, I just want to just, is it okay to make a comment on your expressions concerning Haiti?
Of course, yes. That's our
you know, I appreciate it. I just want to say I thank you for giving us an understanding here in America, because what's going on in Haiti and the history of the independence of Haiti and how it came to be, what I see here in America is that they want us, as commonly called African Americans, not to be connected to Haiti in any kind of way. And as long as they poison our minds with the media by constantly showing us that the Haitians there are just raping and, you know, murdering, you understand, their own. I found that so mind-boggling, because it was set up to look upon Haiti as, like, unfortunately the worst. And what they're discussing now, not only in the news, but also with the United Nations and them making it a priority to address Haiti, is that they're making it seem like it is, unfortunately, the worst thing that's happening all over this world.
Yeah,
and I just couldn't understand it. And, you know, and it was a sad thing, because it's like, okay, they needed to bring more soldiers up. They needed to bring, you know, more police. And it's like, what is happening? Well, who you actually are telling me that within Haiti is that this is what they're doing to their own people, and then they're getting away with it, because they show forth like they're getting away with this. And I just really could not understand it. But I knew it was something untruth about it, because the media would be there, the reporters would be there, people would be there filming. So if it was truly what they were saying, why would you be there and you'd be doing the filming as you're doing and having the ongoing conversation to tell us this in our mind? It just didn't feel right.
Right.
But by you expressing it and giving us an understanding to the reality, it's like there's a saying that we say, what comes from the heart, it touches the heart, which means that when you are telling the story, we are able to discern an untruth for it. And you made it so plain. I can see the reality of what you just told us. I can see it happening just as you stated it's happening. I can see it. It's not like I need to read it in a book. And the question I want to ask you is, what can we do here in America to contribute to assist in any kind of way? Because the way it's being presented, it's like we have no connection at all. It's like America,
right,
stay in America lane. So what can we do to assist?
Well, just be involved. You see, listening ear goes a long way. And if people really are invested in the source of anything, they will take the time to study it and to really look. But because we have such full lives, and sometimes we do multiple things, that we do a drive-by on Haiti because we're not in Haiti. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So if we were literally under gunfire and the United States had a chokehold on here, as they did in Haiti,
there are times that there are certain entertainment things that we wouldn't even partake in. We would constantly be in organizing mode because our life depends on it. And so, again, you know, it really is about understanding who you are, what you bring to the table, because if you know mm-hmm. you have a role as a revolutionary, you got to make mm-hmm. the sacrifices that others can't and others won't, because you have mm-hmm. a responsibility to lead the people the right mm-hmm. way. Some people exactly. are just consumers. Some people are just followers, so they don't really have an obligation to answer the call when it comes down to it. But when God chooses his leaders, and nobody really wants to be called a leader, because, of course, you see what we do with our leaders, right? Malcolm X, Martin Luther King is a perfect
exactly.
example of that. So a lot of people are saying, oh, I ain't leading nobody. No, but the truth is, it's not what you call yourself. It's what God ordained you to do, what you have been called to do. And so
gotcha.
We have to constantly be consistent. We have to repeat things 5-6
right.
times in order to get it. And that's okay as long as we acknowledge and we are patient with each other and say, this mm-hmm. is what Haiti needs. And this is what Haiti actually as a spokesperson for Haiti, this is why I will repeat as many times until people get it, because there's so much distraction. And again,
mm-hmm.
the media is such a powerful tool that sometimes we ourselves are subjugated to what it's saying as gospel truth rather than
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
from experience. And so again, it takes a reversal of concentration. The question is, what is our focus? So if somebody's
mm-hmm.
focus is not really on freedom fighting, and then
mm-hmm.
you explain to them the situations on what they need to do in order to do,
mm-hmm.
it's just going to go in one ear, go out the other. You have
mm-hmm.
to constantly give the message, because you don't know who's listening. And when it comes to the youth, they are like sponges, but we are not constantly telling them revolutionary works on a constant basis because of whatever the issue is. But now is our time. The one thing that Haitians want, because we consider the U.S. as our comrade, we are one in the same. But unfortunately, we have to, again, do away with those who are not really in the revolution. You understand? The
mm-hmm.
ones that are
mm-hmm.
agitators, the ones that are deceptors,
mm-hmm.
agents of chaos. So we
mm-hmm.
have to decipher who we build with and just continue
right.
to move forward.
And you know, and I think that that's so beautiful. I think that's beautiful. Not to cut you off. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Oh, no. I was just agreeing with you in the end that what we do have to do is, again, just execute and listen to what Haitians need and not dispel or give an opinion on politics or something on it without
mm-hmm.
us doing our thorough research or experiencing it.
Well, you know, I'm just going to speak here in America. You know, I've been dealing with some entities, and that's the word I'm just going to say over here, some opposing forces. And when I took them on, I let them know it, the direction that it seems to me, I let them know that it's going, and that's definitely the like unto here in America. And as you remember, I used to speak, it's about having the Haitian Revolution in America. I say that, and I've said that several times. It is about the Haitian Revolution in America, and I truly accept that. Is that, hold on. This is my daughter. Did I get the pay? Okay. I truly, truly accept that, is that this is about the Haitian Revolution in America. It's period. And the reason I say that is that it's just saying that we want freedom is not going to happen. You have to take it. And they want here, us in America,
right.
the African-Americans, yeah. too, they want us to be afraid of Haiti. They want us to be afraid of Haiti. They don't want us to even embrace how they came into their independence. And I think that it is something that we really need to really look into. But as you say, not many are willing to go into that direction. But if you come to the conclusion that you're serious about the change, because speaking about what's going on here in San Francisco, is that here at the council here, local council, is that a few weeks ago they just introduced a Shaman Walton. Shaman Walton is one of the Board of Supervisors representatives from District 10, and he
mm-hmm.
just presented a resolution to give an apology for slavery here in
San Francisco. Yes, I heard of that. Can you tell us a little bit about how that went? What is that apology for reparations? Or what is,
well, you know, and it's very important to share with you. It's, I mean, when people, when we hear it, you know, many of us, we were really outraged, and I was one of the ones who was very outraged, you know, about what I heard, because I, first, we are the main city that's focusing on the dialogue of reparations and even came up with some numbers, and then all of a sudden that died down, you know, concerning the discussion with Gavin Newsom and the task force in Sacramento, and now all of a sudden a San Francisco task force, and then now it's from all of that dialogue all over the United States to
Wow.
And so when we went to hear this so-called introduction for a solution or resolution for an apology, people were saying, okay, yeah, well, we're going to go forth and we're requesting that you do this, even though that we realize that a resolution for an apology is not enough. We had people to speak upon it. I was really, really outraged, and I spoke very, very intensely to the board in regards to my disdain concerning it, and I probably spoken more of an outrage because I gave them 90 days. That was like January the 15th, I think, when they first introduced it. And I said, you got 90 days to do right by my people. I really went through. I put, and I don't know why the ancestors had told me 90 days in January the 15th, but I did say you have 90 days. And that was what
But 90 days, if I may say this, 90 days is the average time that an agenda that's presented to the council needs to come up with a response. That's usually average. So in your spirit, you already have the progress, the ways on how we're supposed to process without knowing. Mm-hmm. So that's what that was. But
it's interesting though, but I also said that, you know, I noticed that I looked into and I saw the salary that every board member they make, and that's $6,000 and a little change every 2 weeks. And I thought to myself, them getting paid, and this is my thoughts, getting paid now $6,000 every 2 weeks, because what came to my mind is, wait a minute, if this government is not working for the people, then it is our duty and our obligation to one to abolish or alter. And I really meant that, because I don't see anything that's really happening for my nation. And so it was like what myself was in my heart was, it's time to put a freeze on your checks. That was what my
Bam.
Mind was saying.
Hold the phone.
That's it right there. I'm glad somebody said it.
I'm looking at this like, what's really going on? No, we got to deal with this.
Yes. National Chairman, you said that somebody wanted to chime in, or did someone want to chime in?
I'm going to give the acknowledgement. We mentioned it earlier in the show, but our beloved brother James Muhammad, our Minister of Education, has passed. And a sister is here with us that is very, very, very close to James Muhammad and myself. We're very close to James Muhammad. I wanted to bring Sister Yao Santawana. We have quite a few in New York tonight here on Black Power Radio. And Sister Yao Santawana is with us out of
Black
New York.
Black Power, Sister Yao.
New York. Some call it Big Al. We're happy to have you with us on air tonight.
Oh, this is the lady, the older lady, like Akbar's age, and she's like the queen mother of New York.
He's so
selfish. She's too nice.
I'm going to know that right
big
now.
You want Big Warrior?
No, I
come on, come on,
no, I don't care. Go up there.
Our friend died, baby.
So why are you in here? Why don't you go up there?
Big Warrior, I think, was on there. But anyhow, we have Yao Santawana live in New York, and she's going to cover down on James Muhammad is one of our heroes in the Black Revolution, the modern Black Revolution. He challenged the Florida school system. I think he's the main reason the governor came out the way he did about not teaching the Black history in the schools of Florida. And all of their positions they've been taking a look.
Black Power?
What happened? I think he cut out or went on mute on accident.
Black Power, where Sister Yah?
I think we lost it. There might be some technical difficulties as well. Okay, in the meantime, while we wait for Asatwan and National Chairman to get back, we
were James Muhammad.
Yes.
Right. I thought he was talking about me. Y'all know him way longer than me. But I will say that Brother James Muhammad, our National Minister of Information, may rest in power, gone to sing with the angels today and be an ancestor looking out over us. And I remember asking, what's his qualifications for being a minister of information? And he's like, man, that dude is a professor. You know, he a real educator. So I'm like, oh, well, I yield. So a big salute, Black Panther salute. Rest in power, my big brother. We always honor your memory. Black power.
Wow.
Black whiteness.
Black power.
Black power. Sorry for your loss. Sorry for that.
Good ancestors, yes.
Yes, and look on today's day though, Harriet Tubman's day. That's wild.
Yes, actually, thank you for reminding us. This is Janisha.
Yes, today is Harriet Tubman.
Harriet Tubman's day of remembrance. She already is on the silver coin, but yet we are determining whether to have Rosa Parks, as well as Sojourner Truth. Yes, and these are three powerhouse women that really paved the way for revolution. So we'll see. This will be in July. We're actually going to have an official coming out ceremony, so it's going to be some surveys as well. And it's really good for us to honor women as we don't have that as a national holiday, right? So that'll be a good thing to see.
Yes,
we just discussed. But we were on the brink of Sister Asala was explaining some things in San Francisco concerning the reparations. Was it apology for reparations?
Yes. A resolution for an apology, right.
Yes. Tell us a little bit how that went.
Yeah, so, you know, and when we had first heard it, January the 15th, I think that was the date, what came up out of my spirit, I was very, very outraged. You know, and I went in anger. I really did. And I said, you have 90 days because, you know, I saw that, you know, they make 6,000 and some change every 2 weeks. And I thought to myself, that's not a lot of money. It's about 12,000, maybe close to 13,000 every 2 weeks. And then because we have been asleep and now we are awakening, you understand, and becoming more conscious. To what's going on around us, you know, we was never really interested in what was going on in these political chambers. But I started looking into it. I said, now, wait a minute, what is going on here? And I started going in and looking up their salary, et cetera.
Right. Digging deep, sis. Digging deep.
Yeah, I'm going to start, you know, now because, you know, we're going in their direction. They always been coming and reporting against us and accusing us, but now it's time to go and look and see who these people are and what they're doing and what they're all about and what they're bringing to the table and start now to investigating them. It's time to investigate them because we are not the criminals. Let's get
that right.
Right.
And we've been treated like we're a bunch of criminals. You understand that it always commit crimes. And the greatest crime was against humanity by enslaving us as a nation and then don't want to turn around and accept what they have done. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And so it's now time for them now to this is about the spiritual court that's now judging them. And they're now being charged.
Yeah, so the tables are turned.
Yeah. As they say, the new guards and the new gods is up in the house. And that's who we are. And we're now the head and not the tail. And
now I wanted to reiterate the point of what you just said, and I want you, Black family, to listen very carefully. You have to investigate.
I'm trying to get y'all back.
Hold on,
I got Black Panther.
Let me finish it up.
Yes, you have to investigate the opposition. That means. You've got to know their names because, trust me, they know our names. You think they don't? They just
got me looking, Trump. I'm starting to look through. Oh, wait a minute. like, what we dealing with here? I'm like, we're looking. I went to the administration office. I said, I need every dollar, how much they get. I want everyone by name. And I'm telling you, as I'm looking into this, I'm finding out that some of these politicians is doing some big backseat deals. You know what I'm saying? And even though we've been knowing this, but they're doing some back. They got nonprofit organizations that actually is involved in having land transferred over to them. And water transferred over to them, who get salary of $34 million and get millions of dollars to their nonprofit. I'm like, what the hell is going on? Because we all have a problem with that. When you are in a political system, you're not supposed to be in a political position and take bribery. That's a part of the Constitution right there. You're not supposed to be getting involved with bribery or anything given to you. But how can you be in a position as local government and have a nonprofit to get grants given to you for millions of dollars?
Well, I can tell you why. I can tell you why.
You see what I'm saying? I'm like, wait a minute.
They're doing it because, again, why, sis? Because we're not in these spaces holding them accountable until today.
Until today, exactly.
Yes, today, so we're going to stand up
and
stop
this
shit.
And this is the thing, what's been shown to me is my position. I'm sure getting ready to go to the board chamber on Tuesdays and present it. I'm
right
going to ask him some questions.
Get him. Boom, shakalaka.
Well, what's going on with this nonprofit organization here? And I this is what I also know, that their rules is that you cannot address them by name. You cannot address them by name. But, hey, the rule is not to say that you cannot address them by their district that they're running, right? That your supervisor, it didn't say that. You cannot address them by name. But the rule is not that you cannot address them by their district. So
that rule, I want people to explain, because we're going to talk a little bit. This is San Francisco politics, family. What Sister Sal is speaking on is specific to the Bay Area. So this is exactly what we want you to do, your city. You attend the county or the city council, and you know what's on the agenda. We can't express how important, Black family, in order for us to be victorious over this governance that is oppressive, we got to know what they're talking about. Ain't no way around that, Black family. Ain't no way around that. So moving forward, one of the people, and we're going to mention him today, okay? You can't probably mention him in the council chambers, but again, who makes up these rules? Is it not them? So we're going to call it out today. So Aaron Peskin, let's talk about it.
Mm-mm-mm.
Aaron Peskin is District 5, right?
Yes.
And what Sister Sala was talking about is that being in these spaces, she realized that this board of supervisors, just like many politicians, they have their own nonprofits. This is something that I'm glad that we're talking about tonight, Black family, because those are the things that we need to do away with. We the people can say that we don't want to elect an official that has a nonprofit. We can easily say that because it's not that many positions. So if you want me to vote for you, then you cannot have a nonprofit because automatically that is a conflict of interest.
Yes, it is.
Our taxes and funnel, I don't care if it's even a dollar for a sandwich for whoever on their staff. They're going to utilize our taxes for their nonprofit one way or the other.
Exactly.
And that is what Los Angeles, I can tell you for a fact, is the most corrupt city politics in the world. We have four politicians that were indicted in the last 3 years. You can't get any worse than that. Somebody making a phone call on the air. So let's hear who he's calling.
I know that can't even happen.
Hello.
You learn something every day.
Is there anyone else that's on the line that will actually want to chime in into the topic of what it means to be a warrior and the traits that we are taking that means accountability, fearlessness, boom, black power?
We should have Yasatawa alive and talking a bit about James Muhammad, our Minister of Education. I'm trying to see if we can get a. Are you there, Sister Yasantawa?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, I'm here, brother. Black power.
Black power.
Yes,
black
power.
Power.
Yes, black power. Yeah, well, you know, we got to keep fighting. You know, there ain't no quitting, no giving up. And when it's time for us to move on to the other side, that's what happens. But real warriors fight all the way to the end.
That's
they
right.
don't sell out. They don't sell out for 30 pieces of silver. And see,
here's
another thing, too. Negroes, the undercover ones, see, the ones that's been exposed about being the sellout, they're exposed. We know about
yes,
them Negroes.
Are.
But the ones that are undercover, that's professing to be black nationalists, that professing to be freedom fighters, those are the mother uckers that needs to be exposed, because they are the ones that are misleading the masses. Got the masses thinking that they're the one, and they're not the one. The ones that are the real ones, if boots are on the goddamn ground. The real ones fights to the end. The real ones don't function because they have a title. They function and fight because we have a right to do that. And if we're not fighting to get really free, then we need to stop wasting our people's time. I'm sick and tired of seeing these fake-ass Negroes talking about revolution, and they scared.
That's
I know they scared because I've been on the line. I've had them drop. I've had casualties. This ain't nothing to play with. This stuff is real. This is real. We've had comrades to walk into the fire and get a goddamn life so that we can keep fighting. That's real stuff. This ain't something we read in a book or something we seen on Facebook or something we hear about somewhere else. This stuff is real. And we're in 2024, 2024. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I can say Brother James Muhammad was a freedom fighter. All the way in the bed, in the sick bed, he vowed to me that we're going to keep fighting no matter what the condition is, no matter what situation we in, and no matter who pull the titles from us, no matter who talks about us, we're going to keep fighting. So me, Yasantawa, I carry the spirit of Nana, Queen Mother Yasantawa. I carry that spirit. I ain't scared of nobody. God damn it. And what I'm saying today, I don't care if you don't recognize who I am. I know who I am. And I know the ancestors are using me to fight and to stand up. And I'm not afraid to stand up. And I'm not afraid to fight. And I'm going to keep on fighting. And I say tonight, Brother Muhammad gave it all. Because him and I both in the hospital, sick, been told that we're not going to make it. But we made it. 3 years on down the road, we still been fighting. So he fought all the way to the end. And I'll fight all the way to the end. And real revolutionaries will fight all the way to the end. Dr. Khalid Muhammad fought all the way to the end, till his last breath. So we got to fight. All this intellectual masturbation, I'm not into that. I don't need to get on the radio. I don't need to be in the newspaper. All I need to know is where it's at, and I go take care of my business. That's how I roll. So if you don't hear me on radio, you don't see my names in the light, you don't see my name in the papers, that's because I'm doing the goddamn work. Black power. And I don't really have much else to say to that. As long as we fight, and if they fighting in Haiti, goddamn it, then that's where we need to be fighting everywhere we are. And our babies need to know it's not about Cadillacs, it's not about gold, it's not about trinkets, it's not even about the money. Khalid Muhammad said reparations. He says we're going to have to take it. They're not giving it to us. We keep begging for it. Queen Mother Moore petitioned reparations back in the 50s before I was born, de-petitioned that. We still at the goddamn table begging for reparations. Khalid Muhammad said, we're going to have to take it. He said, the gold, the trinket, the money, it's not going to satisfy us. He said, that enemy blood must bathe this earth for what happened to us as a people. So we got to stop being satisfied with a few dollars and selling our people out. No sellout. So when you hear me, when you see me, you know it's no sellout, goddammit. And for those that went down, like Dr. Khalid Muhammad, like Hashim and Zinger, he made his home, and he dropped dead in his home, but he fought all the way to the end. We're looking for soldiers that will fight to the end. We're looking for soldiers that is not looking for 30 pieces of silver. We're looking for the soldiers that want to kill, that want to destroy, that want to bring it down. That's the soldiers we're looking for. The ones that are intellectually masturbating, they're just wasting our time. They're wasting a generation of young people's time. It's time to fight. And we don't even have to make no goddamn announcement. We just got to keep fighting. That's all I have to say. Black power.
Well, Black power, sister, y'all.
Black power, sister, y'all. Black power, sister, y'all. Of Harlem, Brooklyn, and everywhere else in New York, and we are appreciative to her in a time that I know she is grieving, and that a time of a bereavement and the period, the interim, and we just thank her for taking from her moments for James Muhammad to share that with us, and James and I, Sister Yael Santawar, have been on nearly every front since the honor of Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. It's either me, Sister Yael, Brother James, or all of us together on every important move that the Panther made, and we made a lot of important moves, as you all know. So I thank all of you all for joining us tonight. You all can continue. And Sister Yael is a warrior and a freedom fighter. We got big war up there in New York. It's a war and freedom fight. In San Francisco, we got our warrior on the west side. And we have Dr. Critical Truth Race Bay in New York. National Minister of Justice is coming live from New York. So we thank y'all. And I'm ready to say I'm listening good. And I just let y'all carry on. Oh, let me add, I hope that Switchblade. I sure hope. Woo, hope God will keep us on there. Can't leave out there too long. Let's see. Is this Switchblade on that line?
Black power, y'all carry on. And with our people being fed up with these politics and illegal immigrants that is here, we're going through Danger Week right now because the expiration of the illegals being here at the shelters is about to expire this week. So we have our mayor not really answering questions about what are you going to do about these illegals once they leave the shelter. All he's saying is that we are a compassionate people. We are a city of compassionate people. No solutions, just basing it off of emotion. Compassion. That's it. So,
Brandon Johnson.
In other words, he ain't
going to get reelected again, huh?
Oh, no, he's a one-time mayor, and I'm surprised he hasn't gotten merged yet, but he has had a panic attack. So that, with that being said, I'm pretty sure they put the extra pressure on him.
Not out. He's taking the line of what the mask is telling him to do. He's got no backbone for nothing.
I can picture him having more than a panic attack. He's scared for his life. But this is the type of bourgeoisie that's in front.
Get the hell out of the way. He's being very nonchalant when people ask him real direct questions about the illegals. That's the only thing that they're really focused on. They barely mentioned the black community about our outrage and what they're opening and making available for these non-citizens. And it's not only black Chicagoans that's saying this. This is like the all of Chicago citizens and the migrants that actually went the legal way of stating how much they're a problem.
So what I have learned,
brothers and sisters, is that they are placing all the illegals in predominantly black cities all around the country. It's like 572 different cities all around this nation where majority of black people resonate in. So they are basically putting the illegals there to hopefully replace them.
Not only for their votes,
but also for their cheap labor, and also to make them a buffer class, and also to keep us as a permanent bottom class citizen.
So when we vote
Democrat or Republican, because even if people want to vote Trump, the only thing that he's guaranteeing is to deport all these illegals, but that's benefiting us. But that's not a direct benefit. And he's still not promising any type of reparations. All he has is a platinum plus type of plan. And that still includes everybody. It's still an all lives matter plan. So none of these people are on our side.
Exclusive, that's right. Exclusively for point blank.
Exactly. So I'm voting for the couch this year, even though I'm running for re-election as a little president of a local school council. I vote for policies, but I'm not voting for any of my politicians.
That is
not going for reparations exclusively for us.
Yes.
So our next city hall meeting is on the 20th. I will be attending. Oh, hopefully I'll have a chance to speak. They're really acting funny with all of the speakers in the house now. Since there's been so many people that have been speaking out against our mayor, name calling, you know, but it's necessary because, come on, we got to call a sellout a sellout. We got to call a coon with what they are, you know, because they still trying to pretend that they really care about black folks, and they really don't. Last time I was there, Dr. Truth Bay, I sent her the video of me going off on City Hall and calling them racist bigots at the end. I couldn't even hold it.
I'm trying, though.
It's hard.
Yeah,
but, I do better next time, so I understand. I went there.
Don't people like sight.
Yes, ma'am.
So if anybody
wants
to attend in support of you attending City Council, it is, the next will be on the 20th, as Sister Switchblade just mentioned, at 8 a.m. It's the second floor, located at 121 North LaSalle Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60602. Again, if you want to show support, if you're physically in the city, you definitely gotta be supporting in person. There's no excuse, because if Sister Switchblade, who's an educator, can take the time to get down there, then she needs an entourage. She needs some boots on the ground people, too. If you can, is there a virtual way, Sister Switchblade, that people
it is. Hold on, sis. Let me pull it up for you. Let me give everyone the information.
And we're going to actually see if we can pull up some of this agenda item while we're on this line and see what they might be talking about.
It's going to be a regular meeting. That's what I do know. It just quoted a regular meeting, so they're just going to discuss the budget, of that council meeting, as well as the next policy meeting.
Okay, perfect, perfect. Thank you so much for that update. So, Chicago, we got to put it on the map.
I'll get off of mute and give it right back to you. But I'll pass the mic black to you. Peace and black power.
Right on. Black power.
Peace
always.
And black power.
Absolutely. So that was Sister Switchblade with an update of Chi-Town. Brandon Johnson, my God, he got to go. Just like majority of these mayors nationwide, they have got to go. But they're not going anywhere until what? Until we hold them accountable. Simple plan. It's a simple pizza pie family. So let's try to get these ingredients together. So do we have anybody else on the line? Again, we want to say thank you for joining us on Black Power Radio. We're here every Sunday and Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. the most informative radio show on the platform, giving you information in real time where you won't find anywhere else. So we have our host, Sheikh Imam Akbar, and we have our special guest today. We are talking about the means and the attributes of a warrior. And we're talking about some of the action steps that some of our great guests have been speaking. We're speaking for Sister Asala from San Francisco, Sister Tanisha from Marin City. Then we have just heard from Sister Switchblade from Chicago and our beloved Queen Mother Asantewaa, who right now we are also in remembrance of our beloved James Muhammad, who just passed away. So we have peace and love and condolences, sending love and light to the family as we remember him as a freedom fighter and an attorney. And so with that being said, do we have anybody on the line that wants to, on the open mic, give a little question, comment, or concern that we the people need to know about?
Yes, New World Warrior here.
New World Warrior. Hello? Just before you do that, yes, New World, if you do want to support this platform, we do want them to donate at $77Bakers. That's $77Bakers. Because he's baking a cake of revolution as fast as he can. You can't do it for free. All right, Black Power, go ahead, Big Warrior. What's on your mind?
I'd like to say correction in terms. James Muhammad did not pass. He simply changed address. He's fighting where he is. He ain't laid down.
Nope.
Y'all just forgot. He ain't dead.
All
he
right.
Just changed address. Now, three simple things about this punk and this damn apology. It wasn't worth damn when you gave it to me. It ain't worth a damn now. I need to remind you all, if you didn't go to sleep, when these bastards in Ukraine had a problem, they came up with $40 billion in 40 days, and you talking about a damn apology? What's it worth? Nothing. Stop playing these damn games, y'all. Okay? Don't let people play
right.
Like that.
Exactly.
But it's not your responsibility.
I want to add,
that's why, like I said, we were so outraged. But what I found out from a journalist here in San Francisco, she interviewed me after, and she said that what was going on, and Truth, you would understand this more, and I want you to explain it. What I was told, that the reason that they came in that one representative came in that direction is because if the city of San Francisco agrees through by way of a revolution all for vote, that once it put within, I guess, this legal document that the city of San Francisco has voted as a resolution for what has happened, the atrocities for the Black nation, then it's voted. And once it's voted, then I'm told that then they can move forward concerning the reparations. And that was the reason. I guess it was a tactic that was used first to get them first to agree and then move forward. So do you understand what that means, Truth? Can you break it down, the political language, to give an understanding to why they was coming in that direction? As far as breaking down the reparations in San Francisco,
as far as having the full board vote that this atrocity did happen and that the apology of San Francisco is due. And once they all come and take the vote that the city and county of San Francisco is voting that this will be a legal resolution, then they will have something through by way, I guess, the documents, legal documents are written in stone that city and county has acknowledged an apology, and then once that apology is legally, they all vote, all 12 representatives, then they are supposed to move forward. Can you break down what that is all about as far as political policy?
It's called smoke and mirrors. Okay, so this apology, let me explain to you what they are wasting time on. California as a whole entire state, that includes San Francisco, Los Angeles, Sacramento, they already went through AB 3121. Everything we needed to know concerning reparations was done. It was an 1,100-page report that was completed in June of 2023 that labeled the atrocities and some that wasn't listed as well in this document. So what San Francisco has done, and he actually has done it during the times of the task force hearing, which was in 2021 to 2023. They have already decided, and actually $5 million in land for San Francisco residents. Now, let's go back a little bit, if you remember this. When this first came to fruition, who was the one that denied and said no? Was it not Avis Brown, who was already on a task force, and the president of the NAACP of San Francisco?
Yes, it was Avis Brown.
So, again, we're reinventing, they're trying to reinvent the wheel. So this apology or this legal document that they're waiting for to move forth on reparations, again, it's another delay and deny tactic. They have enough evidence from the time of the inception of this country to know what we have gone through. Again, they feel that because it's us that they can also continue to talk us to death. That's what it is. They want to have committees, they want to have task force, they want to have commission meetings, and they will have a meeting 30, 40 years from now on the same topic. But when it comes time to cut the check, when it comes time to cut the check, you're going to hear crickets, you're going to hear, oh, they're not available, they're going to say, oh, we're going to need some more time to think about it. But they didn't do that for the COVID bill, right? And who did it benefit? They did it in 30 days, Joe Biden. Yeah, he said, okay, you guys are being discriminated because of COVID, so what we're going to do is give you $50 million. And there was our bill just for that. So now
right away,
there we go. So if we know that it can be done within 30 days, what is the delay? There's no discussion. So I'm glad that at least they're trying. So what we're going to do, or what our San Franciscans need to do is to band together and go and attend the next council meeting and state in public comment that we are not accepting any more dialogue on this. This is what we want. Each family who's a descendant of slaves who can draft up their lineage, they need to, in their own story, tell them who they are. And then under 1 minute, depends on how much public comment is. Sometimes it's 1 minute, 2 minutes. Sometimes they give you 3 minutes. And you state on public comment. And let me tell you, Black family, public comment is the most powerful tool that we the people can use. Whether they're listening or not, it's on record. And you can always trace back what has been said. And if we do that enough times, trust and believe, a lot of these decisions that they make without us or not having us in mind will differ. But it's power in numbers. It's not rocket science, family. It's power in numbers. So I'm so proud of my sisters that are taking the charge and my brothers who are taking the charge and regularly attending their local council meeting because this is the first step of accountability and teaching others and families who are not able to attend or who haven't been there to know where the source of the problems are. You don't understand, like millions of our taxes, every one of us has been working hard, working for the man. We pay taxes just like everyone else. So why is it that we are given the short end of the stick? And that's okay. Is that okay, family?
No, it's not.
Not
at all. But how can we change that is by mobilizing and attending and being present in the moment. And that's where we can defeat the enemy of greed and corruption. No other way.
Oh, and correction, Aaron Preston is District 3 and not District 5.
Good. All right. Thank you for that update. Yeah, so Aaron Preston, District 3, we just mentioned that he has his own nonprofit. And it's about land, family. It's about land. Are we going to dig deep?
Land and water.
Land and water.
Land and water, nonprofit foundation. Millions go to this nonprofit, and there's only three entities. It's him, his secretary, and another person. And he's been having this nonprofit since 1995 or 1999. Yes. And so it's in the $34 million. Was that $34 million true? Is that per month? What is that $34 million compensation? I didn't understand it because I don't like to speak erroneously. That $34,000. That $34,000 is that compensation monthly? What is that all about?
Yeah, so if it's a revenue, so that's what they put out as their revenue for the nonprofit. But of course, it's more than that. They don't report the private donation. It may just be the public funding that they get, and that's why we say it's a conflict of interest. It is a conflict of interest by all fronts.
I absolutely agree. Because yes. See, I can see the backroom deals. Okay, knowing mm-hmm. that he is the president of the San Francisco Council. Now,
yes.
If he has this nonprofit organization, now developers, listen to me, developers, potential developers can donate grants to this nonprofit organization. You see
that's
what
right.
I'm saying? For and so it's something mighty, mighty wrong here. And I'm
mm-hmm.
so thankful that you're looking into it because I'm going to address this at the city council. See, this is getting ready to blow their minds, and I'm going to tell y'all why. Because our people, many of what the sister said, these sellout Negroes that are getting a lot of this money in this city that's shutting up, see, they're not going to go in and speak to this council and to hold them accountable because they're getting money, you understand, from a lot of these city departments in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. See, the thing is, just like I'm saying here, I said it there 2 weeks ago. And I said also the reason that we're in this situation is because of you black leaders, you fake black leaders. I said it sure did. Amos
mm-hmm.
Brown was right there and other
yeah.
entities was right there. I'm not biting my tongue. I'm not going there and addressing the majority of those other cultures with just one black on a doggone board and not going to hold y'all accountable behind me. You want, and they sit behind me in the audience, and you think that you're going to be excluded. And then what that sister just said, she's talking about a lot of these sellouts. Look, we ain't got time for them. You either go under them, you go around them, or you knock them down. Any kind of obstacles in your way, I don't deal with
knock them.
I don't have no problem. See, it's not about them. It's about us.
That's right.
You see, the one that says she on the battlefield, it's not about, because see, they're going to have to hold themselves accountable. Understand me, because all of the years, the 30 and the 40 years and the 20 or 25 that we have been on this battlefield, we already see who are the ones that have taken the 30 coins of silver. We already know who they are. I don't have to go out and call them individually by their name, because when you speak to them, because this is a spiritual war, you're speaking to their spirit. If they in front of you, they know who they are. They already being judged for the evil. Let me tell you why. Because you know they know who they are, because we see they are not effective. That is how you know who they are. If they're not effective, it's obvious who they are. You understand me? The bottom line is about
that's
the
right.
ones that are being on this field, and they are effective. That's the ones that we know is on this battlefield. So we don't need 1,000 on this battlefield, as what I'm told. I'm told by Amos Brown, he gonna come tell me, but we don't have 1,000. But we didn't. You didn't have 1,000, okay? By getting that 50 million, but you got the 50 million. But you didn't have 1,000 to help you get the 50 million. So now you gonna come and tell me that you don't have 1,000 to come to you to the board of supervisors? We don't need 1,000.
And just
that's,
for those, I wanted to clarify. I wanted to clarify for our listening audience. The 50 million that we sometimes refer to. So back in 2022, or is it early 2023? Yes, January 2023. Amos Brown, who is also he was a vice president of the Reparations Task Force in California, in a high position. But more importantly, he is the president of the NAACP. So we all know, we covered it extensively on Black Power Radio, the history of the NAACP. So he, in that position, should have been the fourth leader in leading the charge for reparations for the people. But instead, not only did he delay and deny what San Francisco put to the table, but he received $50 million from Wells Fargo family, from Wells Fargo. For him to go to Africa with Kamala Harris, do God knows what. But then this is where
to
the
shut us
goes.
Up. To shut us up, not to
that's
discuss
right.
this movement again about reparations, to shut us up.
That's
that
right.
was what was done. That was what was done. And so
that's
knowing
right.
that our people mm-hmm. allow, knowing that our people, every time something like this happens, they end up going to the next thing and you end up forgetting about it.
what has been done, and you sweep it under the doggone rug. And that's what our people do. Our people sweep it under the rug like it ain't no big deal. And it is a big deal because we don't have really any black organizations that are effective in representing our people. We don't have representation. And that's the reality that we need to look at right now. We have absolutely no one representing us. Kamala Harris is not our representative. Al Sharpton is not our representative. Jesse Jackson is not our representative. And also Martin Luther King Jr. is not our representative. We have absolutely no one to represent us to be able to speak in our behalf. Even these immigrants, Sanctuary City, it's still somebody to always speak for them. We have no one to speak according to our needs. And it's an unfortunate situation to sit up here and say that we possess some kind of power around here. You understand? And that's the way we got to roll. If we don't really talk about it, let's talk about it. Every one of our people need to be held accountable for the evil that they're doing in the name of our bloodshed and our oppression. And it's an unfortunate situation. It's unfortunate. And the only thing that we can do is to continue to take the responsibility, as you did say, Truth, and look at it. I don't look at myself as a leader. I don't look at myself. I'm born out of my mother womb. My name is Salah Hakuya. I don't look at, oh, I'm a leader. Leader of what? What the hell are we leading? If we're going to be a leader, the first thing is to be a leader of ourselves and to also lead by example.
Absolutely.
Once we lead by example, we got to look at ourselves, the man and the woman in the world. We know what we contributed, and we know what we not contributed. We know if we just playing and just dibbling down, or if we really all about it. We know, and guess what? We don't have to go and explain ourselves, Sister Y'all. Sister Y'all, we don't have to go and explain to anybody about what we have done. You know what you have done. And that's what you have to do. I'm learning this to reserve your energy, Truth. Reserve your energy and do what is meant for you to do. To be so doggone concerned about what other people is doing ain't none of our business. Our business is to make sure that we know that what we're doing and to appreciate those that are already there doing the work. You understand? And that's what we need to realize. You say appreciate our values and who we are. And that's what I've learned to do. Instead of me taking my energy and my time and always going out trying to, I need you to come on this link. I need you to hook up. Every time I'm going around trying to get our people to hook up on the link, to hook up on the Zoom, I'm not doing that anymore. When you say, Sala, this is where I am, I'm going to push that button. If I'm real about it, you shouldn't have to hunt me down. If I can't then I can't. But for you to be trying to go chase everybody who's not about the real of the movement, we're wasting our time.
Bring yourself. Yeah, you're
going to
bring yourself.
Facts.
Definitely bring yourself.
And so this is where the rubber meets the road. As we close down, I tell you, the freedom train is leaving. The freedom train. Do you have your ticket, family?
I know that's right.
Do you have your bags packed? Because when it's time to go where you need to go, you got to be ready. You got to be like a nomad in these streets. You can't be tied down to anything.
You really can't.
You really can't because we don't know. We already learned through COVID the great reset. If toilet paper can cost $12 and there's none for months at a time, can you imagine if bottled water is not available? Are we ready for survival when it comes down to it?
We're getting ready to go down.
If
you're trying to convince somebody, you'll be wasting your time. Because if you're not woke to know what time it is, then you ain't the one. Keep it
by
moving.
Now.
I keep telling them to get that earthquake
food. Be left behind.
You know, it's over. Reserve your energy, ladies. Reserve your energy because we need each other. We need each other. Reserve your energy because the one that's here, we the ones. And that's you give thanks for the ones to help us get through this. You understand me?
Give thanks.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. And so we want to segue into the Million Women World March. So stay tuned, family. It's the ship's getting full. So right now we're cutting the reins. We have a couple of events coming on, and hopefully by next week or so we should have another special guest, Her Excellency Shante Lana. She actually is one of the directors for Birth of a New Nation event. Is going to be spectacular, August 18th to the 26th in Atlanta, in Georgia. And this will be a precursor to the Million Women World March that we'll be having in D.C. in October. So we have two main dates to look forward to. So start gathering the real ones in your circle, and let's do it, because now is the time, family. You can't wait. You can't wait. Now is the time. So get yourself together and listen in. Every week we'll give you an update. And if you want to be part of the mailing list, you can always feel free to text us or call us at 323-884-8583. That's 323-884-8583. Text REVOLUTION to 323-884-8583, and then you'll get some updates concerning what is the next step in order for you to be part of the change in your neighborhood. You start off small, so we're not going to give you more than you can chew, but when we all come together, it's going to be explosive. So
yes.
I can't wait for that, family. Our children need it. Our children are looking forward to that. So we're going to circle back to our national chairman, if he's on the wings, to see if there's anyone else on the line to call in and tell us what's on your mind. Tonight is Open Forum Sunday, where we're talking about the traits of a warrior, what it takes to make it, and some current events and issues. And we'll be highlighting towards the end as well the story and the case for Haiti, what is really happening with the Republic, and how we can make a change for the diaspora nationwide. National Chairman Sheikh Imam, are you there? Or did he go out to lunch? You know, sometimes you got to eat. Revolutionaries got to eat. They got to eat. All right. With that being said, we're going to circle back to Sister Sala. Actually, we're going to finishing up with the reparations update. Now, currently, the next San Francisco Board of Supervisor meeting will be Tuesday, the 21st. Am I right, correct? Or do we have one on the 12th coming up?
I don't know, but family, I have a question.
Go ahead, Warrior.
Hello? Okay, this is the Warrior. I wanted to know, this Amos Brown gentleman that got this $50,000, is he a boule?
$50 million, sir. Stand corrected.
Oh,
million.
Damn. That's more than a good boule.
Yes.
So, yeah, he's something worse than a boule.
Does that answer your question? Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
You don't get $50 million for no reason.
Case closed. Assholes.
Tap dancing corruption. That's just how it is. That's just how it is. And so, back family, I want to live with a quick Bible verse. I'm going to go to the scriptures now.
Yeah.
What's the word of the day?
Beloved. We have one more. I hope you can hear me. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you. Welcome back.
Great. We had our beloved sister online. She has been on hold. But this sister has put in so much time in the revolution, and she was in simultaneously with James Muhammad, sir, with James Muhammad as well, and helped the Panthers here, the efforts of education. They were both, while she was working in New Jersey, New York, James was doing a piece down in Florida that I can't take my hat off and tip my kufi enough to James Muhammad and his contribution to education. And he always had things going on with the young people. And this is just put into similar work in a different state. And she's in New Orleans now. And I wanted to welcome to the airways. I hope she's still right there with us. Is Sister Melody there right now?
All power to the people. Yes, I am.
Oh, power to the people. Thank you for joining us tonight, Sister Melody. We just happy to have you on the bereavement day, the condolences of family James Muhammad, and they're talking about the Haitian revolution and the reparations, et cetera, and what's going on in your state. Power to the people.
Yes, we've lost a brother, and condolences to everyone, especially his family. We've worked together on Blog Talk Radio many times, the brother and I, and Sheikh Imam, to enlighten the people and to wake them up. We have a serious thing going on in Florida with the Department of Education there. where we have a governor who wants to take out Black history from the curriculum. Black history is not only being taken from the curriculum in Florida, but is being in question in every state, including the state of New York, where they took it out of Cornell University. And Americana Studies no longer exists in Cornell University. And this brother and many other brothers and sisters have fought, even Sister Betty Chavez, have fought to have African studies not only in the high schools, but in the colleges as well. These are precursors to career fields that they no longer allow us to be in. Architecture, archaeology, the study of all of the great pyramids and all of the ancestors there, like Dr. Ben. Dr. Ben was going over there and he was educating the people about our ancestry and who we are, you know, ancient Kemetian civilization. So when we look at that brother and many other brothers, we see that they fought hard to keep African studies in the schools. And we have to keep it in the schools. We have to keep it alive for our future generations so that our children will know of great examples of who we are and who we've been. So, we have quite a few things coming up. The Million Women's March, we're hoping that that will get off the road and very much onto the park grounds in Washington, D.C., so that we can actually let the government know that we are not having it. These are our children,
yes.
And we will fight to the end that they have their own identity and they have their own education system and that they're not excluded from the mainstream education system, that our people are not excluded from the history books, that our struggle is not erased from the history books in the school. Our children have a right to be proud of who they are. And if they can't be proud of who they are, then what are we doing? What are we doing?
Hello, question, ain't it?
What are we doing? So when we think of the brother, we got to keep the struggle going. We got to keep the fight going. You know, we can't give up now. We have to make them recognize that we were part of the struggle, and we are still part of the struggle that makes America what America is.
Pardon my ass, we are the struggle.
Well, brother, you know what I'm saying? If they
yes,
take
ma'am.
That out of the history books, the books are going to be flat.
Your
we fought in every single war, every single war that's been fought on this soil. We fought in it from the Revolutionary War to the Civil War. We fought in it. The War of 1812, we fought in it. The War of America against Mexico, the Spanish-American War, we fought in it.
Cut to the chase. We fought in all of them.
Okay.
That's right.
So all power to the people.
Power to the people. Black power.
Black power.
Let's never forget.
Black
Let's
power.
Never forget. Mm-hmm. There's been so many accomplishments that is overwhelming. And the good thing about it, we can always remember it and execute it again. That's why it's important to know history so we can duplicate the good things and not make the same mistakes in the past.
So,
well, I do want to say, I do want to just say something to that. What they're basically saying is that they don't want their children to feel guilty of the atrocities that their ancestors and their foreparents have done. This is what this is all about, that they don't want their children to feel guilty. So this is the reason why they're eradicating. But that's their fault, because it says that they must also give justice for what their foreparents have done from generation to generation. It's just like if you take a political seat, you take a position to rule, you have to also carry the baggage of what that former politician have laid. That's the bottom line. But unfortunately, when our people once again do not take a stand and stand up and do something about it, we're always complaining about what has happened instead of standing up and doing something about it. When you see the Israelites, or you see the Gaza, and you see Israel, you see the Palestinians, and then you see them coming and storming to these councils talking about cease fire. You understand, drop the guns, but you don't see our people saying cease fire for the murdering of our children that have been since the moment of conception. You don't see them storming to these city councils saying stop ceasefire on the murdering of these black children that are being murdered every single day. You don't see. But then what we do, we get angry when we see the Asian community get their millions. We get angry when we see other cultures come in and get theirs. We get angry. You understand? Instead of us getting mad about what's been allowed and do something about it. You understand that? So ourselves are those who are being depleted of the energy trying to get our people a dead horse or a dead mule to pull them. See, we have to also look at the reality of what we're doing just as well. We are allowing it. All of the incarceration of our children, all of the children, the majority of them being put into CPS, knowing that tribal laws is you're not allowed to come take their children out their home. But a tribal laws, you're not allowed. But when we are trying to be into a strange land with foreigners and aliens and trying to live as if we are them and we are not them, and start creating our own laws, and demand what you're not going to do. You're not going to come in my house and take my child because of something that happened in school that you thought was going on. Ain't nothing going on in my house. What's going on in your institutions by trying to teach children that it's okay for them to change their sexual genders, their genitals, and say that they're a girl when they're a boy or a boy? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When we stand up and fight, that's what we have to do, is stand up in front and say we're not going to allow it.
Exactly.
That's the reality.
I went through it. She's right.
Well said. Ashe, Ashe. We must never forget. And speaking of that, we're going to round off and speak about
one last one, beloved.
When it
you're
comes
going
to losing
segment,
a child, I think you've got to keep it real.
Beloved, are you there?
Remind ourselves who we're standing here for.
Are you able to hear me?
For my son, Kingdom James Turnham, who
yes,
was murdered in June
26, 2009. Can anybody else hear me?
No, sir, I can't hear you.
Speak about my son.
I don't think
you
can hear me.
No, I can't
now,
hear you at all. Are you speaking?
The hard way.
Oh, man.
How
Trent,
it's not to do something that you're not.
Okay.
I don't know why Trufe can't
son,
hear us.
Trufe
can hear us, but I can't
hear
us.
Business.
Okay.
I'm going to fix it right now.
The Bible is so, always preaching the word. My little preacher, I always called him. He was always jokester. And for your child, when you know that your child is not running the streets as many of these kids that are wreaking havoc. And we could talk about some of these ratchet kids out here that are causing death and destruction to other families.
Right.
But when your child is not in that fashion, he's gone too soon, it moves you differently. It moves you differently. And so, Sister Sala, I want you to talk a little bit about Yolani and the impact that his life has on this earth and what we plan to do moving forward to keep his legacy alive for the families specifically in Hunters Point in San Francisco, who are all too often the same story, the same vibe. Can you shed a little bit of light?
Yes. My son, Yalani Yema Chinyama Rinde, was murdered January the 9th, 2015, trying to cash his check on his half-an-hour lunch break, working at Benihana's in Japantown Japanese restaurant. And he called me at 9:30 p.m. on a Friday evening. He said, "Mommy, I got my check, and I'm going on my half-an-hour lunch break, and I'm going to go cash it." And so he did call me at 9:30, so I knew where he was. And he walked to a location, the check cashing place, and it was closed. And I was told by another witness that he wanted to surprise me, so he went the extra mile. He only had a half an hour lunch break. And so he walked about 7-8 blocks to another corner store that had inside a check cashing place, and it was closed. It was called Charlie's. And there's another location where a lot of young men, they sit and they, you know, they hang out. This is a special location. They always hanging out, sitting down, getting high, drinking. A lot of them getting shot at this area. It was a car of three African-Americans in it, and he knew one. It was like his cousin that he was named with as a child. He asked him if he would give him a ride back to work. He only had 15 minutes. He got into the car at 9:45 p.m. They made a stop about five blocks away and put the hazard lights on, and evidently out of that car was three other blacks. Someone was following one of those young men in the car, car was following the particular car, the three young men in the car, and four shooters got out of the car and surrounded the car that my son had got into and assassinated all four black boys in the car, killed them all right there on the spot. My son was dead, all four dead at 10 p.m. And so the thing of it is my son was working. He was also in the Fortune 500 club, being mentored by the former mayor, Willie Brown, here. His college was paid for by the Fortune 500 for the rest of his life. He was in one of the brightest students here at Los Angeles City College. So he was really an example, well-loved. And as a matter of fact, he was holding the minister's seat. He was a chosen minister. About truth, son. Yeah, he was holding the seat at our Hebrew cultural community as the minister while a pastor was on vacation. He was chosen to be one of the ministers. And wow. So my son was a great sacrifice. He wasn't never been arrested in his life. You know, he wasn't in a gang or anything like that. And so it really affected not only San Francisco, but it really affected all over the world because people from Africa, everywhere, because it went viral. It's a high-profile case. And the people felt in the spiritual realm. Many people called me. They were crying, didn't know my son, but they kind of felt that something was wrong and something, you know, definitely something about my son was spiritual. Snoop Dogg had spoke about it. I even heard Snoop Dogg speak about it, you know, the story. And many people in Hollywood had responded to it because my son's father, who's from Zimbabwe, Africa, he's a famous actor in Hollywood, California. His name is Chinyama Rinde. And so when they heard that a young boy walking named Chinyama Rinde, a very rare name, they really started attacking Michael Chinyama Rinde, the famous actor, because they wanted to know why was this young man walking to cash a check, and you are an actor in Hollywood, California. So it was just a lot of energy that was put out. Now, January the 9th, 2015, there's still not a trial date going on. I just was told that now after 9 years, I've been going to court every 2 weeks for 9 years, and they just made a statement a couple of weeks ago that they're getting ready to proceed with the trial date. However, the reason that it's been taking so long is because there's an investigation. It's a possibility that the San Francisco Police Department has sold guns to all of those children in that car. Something was going on. There was a white van at the scene of the crime. Found out the white van was working for the FBI. And so one of the boys in that car was getting ready to take a deal and testify against a San Francisco police officer that he was selling guns. And so this is the reason why it's been taking so long, because they knew that I would fight. They don't want it to come out that Babe Hunter's Point
Fillmore that these boys, that they're selling guns. The San Francisco Police Department have been selling guns to these boys, and no one has had the courage to take them on because many of them are afraid. Many of the boys have felonies, and they're not. No one wants to speak. But the universe knew that once I found out what was going on, it knew that I would take a stand and I will fight. And I'm requesting right now with the city and county of San Francisco that they put a freeze on this case until the Department of Justice of Washington receives a BICUS, and it's called a BICUS, I think the BICUS, what is it called? Truth, a BICUS document that I'm putting in. The mayor of San Francisco, she's getting one of these legal documents. Department of Justice, I'm sending one of these legal documents. Yes. I'm sending one to the appellate court here in San Francisco. I'm sending one to the attorney general, and I'm also sending one to Governor Gavin Newsom, is that someone has to identify with what's going on with these children being murdered, and that these police officers are selling guns, and that we are concerned about our children that are being murdered in the United States of America. I am getting ready to take it all the way to the White House. It is time for us to take a stand. And people are saying, but aren't you afraid to come out police department and selling guns? I figure like this. I'm like what Martin Luther King says. He says that a man or woman that doesn't stand up for those and fight for those who they love, their loved ones, he said their life is not worth living. And this is the way I feel about it. I'm going to tell you how I feel about it. When a mother child, that's the greatest pain on earth is when a mother child is murdered. And I'm going to tell you something. As far as I am concerned, is that people say, but aren't you concerned of your life? I'm going to tell you something. We have to live with this every single day of our children being murdered. No one is asking what kind of pain we're going through. No one is asking how we're dealing with the suffrage. No one is thinking about how we as black mothers, if we haven't lost a child, we know a family member that lost a child. If it's not a family woman, we know a neighbor that's lost a child. If you start adding all over the United States, how many black families are suffering for the murdering of our children? And then they want to turn around and want us to say that everything is okay. It's not okay. And this is the reason why I fight so much, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to leave you with this. I've been fighting for my people, my nation, for 38 years, way before my son was murdered. I'm not fighting for my people now or taking a stand because of my son being murdered. So a lot of times people think that. No, I've been fighting for my people for 38 years because I'm born to my inheritance. I was born to do this. But what it did was it gave me not only conviction, but it let me know the direction that I have to go in. There's two types of statements. They say you either go, the two things you focus on, and that's one, what you are against, and second, what you're going to take a stand for. I'm going to say it again. The two major things in life that we got to deal with is what we are against, and second is what we're going to take a stand for. And I'm going to tell you what I'm against. I am against this country saying that it's okay for our children to be murdered in this country, and we don't take a stand and I deal with it. We have to deal with it. We have to bring it to the forefront. Is something wrong with us allowing the United States of America to accept all over this country the murdering of our children?
And give you no due process and non-process your case for the life of your children.
9 years.
Because 9 years too long, beloved.
9 years, I've been
allow a brother to comment and speak to that fairly clearly. I have Brother Jami Lukman on the line, and he's chiming in from New York as well. We got a line full of New Yorkers. How about that tonight? But, Brother Jami Lukman, are you still there with us?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Free to land.
Yes, sir. Free to land, brother. Free to land. Free to land.
Welcome, Brother Jami.
I'm glad to welcome, sister. How you doing? Black Power. One thing I want to say is I would send my condolences to the sister for the loss of her child. You know, it's a great loss to the whole nation and to all our people when any one of us are taken before our time in our lives are cut short. Especially, it's a tragedy when the byproduct of white supremacy racism is the cause of one of our brothers or our children's demise. And that means when I say the byproduct of white racism, I'm talking about black-on-black violence.
Yes.
This is something that don't black-on-black crime and black-on-black violence does not happen in a vacuum. It is a byproduct of racism. And we all need to understand that this society don't place the proper value on the lives of black people, black
exactly.
men, women, or children.
That's right.
And so the criminal justice system and the government is not really going to, we can't really count on them to protect us and defend us.
Exactly.
I understand the mother's call for justice. She's entitled to justice. And her son is entitled to justice. And but that is something that we have to understand, and we have to mobilize as a black community to be able to provide and to extract for ourselves. And we can't wait for other people to just deliver it to us. And in demanding justice, we have to exert the power to demand justice. And our power is in our organization and in our unity, in our correct application of strategies that will put a real serious challenge to the enemy and make him meet our demands. Right now, we are too fragmented as a people. We're too scattered, and our minds are not in the right place. We're losing the psychological war. And once we get and focus on those areas of combat and move forward and progress on that, then we'll be able to hold this country accountable. I was listening earlier to what Sister Trubay talk about those do-nothing Congressional Black Caucus. We have the largest caucus in Congress. We can't get a George Floyd Act passed. That's the same.
That's right.
We got the largest caucus in Congress, and we can't get a John Lewis Voting Rights Act passed. That's
better
the same.
Preach.
You know, and all we can get is tokenism from these bourgeois Negroes. So we got to understand that once we organize at the grassroots level, we concentrate our powers in key population centers and districts where black folks are, and we maximize our power in those areas, then we can use the power of the black vote, the power of black organizations, and the power of the black number to force this democracy to answer us, to adhere to us, and to meet our demands. We have to have an agenda. We can't vote for Biden. We can't vote for the Republicans or the Democrat Party. We can't give them a blank check. Why would we vote for the lesser of two evils? If we don't have a choice, why vote at all? If we don't vote, and we withhold our vote strategically, and as a black bloc, then there's just as much power in not voting as it is in voting. When we vote in fragmented across the country and we don't have a choice and we're not using it in a strategic manner, we lose all our leverage and we're just wasting the black vote. But we can leverage the black vote even when we don't have a choice if we all just stay out, because they're going to need us. Somebody's going to need us. And then they're going to say, well, if we need us, then what you going to give us? We put a quid pro quo on our vote. We don't give them a blank check. And that's how you use the black voting power, when you have a choice and when you don't have a choice. But we've been under the notion that we always got to vote, and that if we don't vote, then we're giving up our rights. That's not the case. That's not the proper education. And we have to concentrate our power to vote so we can hold our elected representatives accountable. And just because we got a black representative in office don't mean that he's going to vote black. We got to be mindful of that, too, when we send these brothers and sisters into office. Now, the sister, it seemed like that the situation that happened with her son was probably gang-related. I can't say for exactly, because she didn't say if there was any motive behind the the attack and the killing. And but this gang problem in the black community is reminiscent of the gang problem in Haiti. You know, and I was just like taken aback when I heard it. And then she come back and she did another parallel that the police is the one giving the guns to the youngsters. Another parallel in Haiti. So I'm like, the solution to this problem, the problem is on a whole bunch of different layers and a whole bunch of different levels. And it's a whole bunch of different people involved. And so it's going to take a concerted approach from the black community on different levels of operations to deal with. And we didn't get into this situation overnight, and we're not going to get out of it overnight. And I hear
if it was a gang related, then why is it that only one person was arrested? And that's the issue that we're talking about. This case, they're trying to try this case as a gang enhancement. But here in California, Governor Gavin Newsom just made a ruling stating that you cannot charge these young brothers as a gang enhancement by being on the street corner if it's two or three, if they haven't shown themselves to show criminal activity of gangs.
Right.
And so the thing of it is my son has never been arrested. So therefore, and if also the young man that they had just arrested 9 years ago, it was only one individual. Now, if it was gang related, why didn't they arrest the gang members? Why is it only one person arrested for killing four young men?
Right. You understand? Where's the other three?
Mm-hmm. Where are the other ones? Something is going on here.
Right.
Okay, well, it may not be gang related, but that don't mean that there was just one. You say four people got out the car. So there can be conspiracy and organized criminal activity, even if it's not a gang. And that qualifies for enhancement, but under a different statute. Why they only got one person, I don't know if it's due to a lack of witnesses or bad police investigation work.
One of the things that was pointed out was the fact that one of the boys were about to testify concerning gun trafficking amongst the police. That alone can break down the very reason why they would flub and delay and deny justice for the innocent family of parties that's involved. We don't have to dig deep in the rabbit hole to even remotely think this is true, because I know it's true. But who has the balls to go forth and make that accountable? That's what we want to say.
And who was two poor boys that never shot anybody in their life? Them boys,
right.
They was 19, 20, 21, and 22. Those young boys that was in that car wasn't notorious. I knew at least two of them, and the other one, I met his mother, and he was just on a job interview that day, and he lived in Antioch, and she allowed him to stay. He called and asked permission to stay in the city at that particular time. So, you know, I'm questioning the characteristics of these boys. These boys wasn't any notorious killers. Why would someone want to kill four boys that doesn't have the characteristics of a killer? No, something is wrong there. It's obvious that it's something else going on that was really devious and diabolical to just want to take four young men out, 19, 20, 21, and 22, who have never really hurt anybody. That was a slaughter.
How many suspects was arrested?
Only one person was arrested, one individual. He was about 22 when he was arrested. You understand? So, and to me, when you start trying to title these boys as gangsters, I mean, we really got to look at what that really means. A lot of these boys, they don't even have a car. So how in the hell can they really be some doggone gangsters when we're looking at the cartels and the mafia, et cetera, and the organized police crime, and look at the severity of how they're really serious about money laundering, et cetera. You understand what I'm saying? You mean to tell me the cartels, the way they're coming in, they're born killers. These young boys that are out on these street corners just hanging around being raised in the neighborhoods These are not notorious killers. And then a lot of the crimes that they're doing is for economic issues. Gang nothing. It's time for us to stop addressing these boys as gangsters and start looking at the real reason why they're doing robberies and why they're breaking in cars. You don't see no true gangsters going around breaking in no cars. You see true gangsters getting out there doing drug deals. You understand what I'm saying? Going and taking people out. Paying the police officers. These young boys do not pay no police officers because they don't have no money. They barely have a bus pass. You see, and the only thing I can really see to be very truthful, it's going to have to be the mothers to stand up and speak out the truth to who their children really are. My son, he was always in the house. If he wasn't at school, he was playing on the computer, doing virtual reality. These boys are not these two notorious gangsters as being said. But we don't have our people stepping up and speaking out and telling the court the way it is. They just have someone in New York take a train bus driver and slash his throat. Slash his throat. And that wasn't a black child did that. That was an immigrant did that. You don't see our boys going and slashing nobody's throat. You understand what I'm saying? You don't see our boys going and beating no police officers like they just beat that officer in New York. So we have to start identifying who these true criminals are and stop constantly trying to blame it on these little boys. They don't even know. They can't even barely wipe their
glasses.
You understand what I'm saying? They barely can wipe their glasses with some toilet paper. It's time for the mothers to stand up and show who their children really are. Because if we go around and constantly say that almost every what they're saying in the United States is that every black mother gave birth to a gangster. So you telling me out of every murder that's got to be affiliated with a gang, you're saying that almost every black mother, when you start naming how many black boys been murdered, so you're saying that all these black mothers raised their children to be gangsters. That is a lie. These black mothers have raised these children as single mothers, raised them to be decent and in order, raised them to go to school and be stand-up citizens. The majority of these black women haven't raised no gangsters. But when we allow the narrative to be told, to continue to lie on our children, then it's our fault. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to fight, I'm going to stand. If these four boys that died on my watch was gangsters, I say what it is. I call a spade a spade. If my son was a gangster, I call a spade a spade. The young boy that was murdered with him, his cousin was shot by somebody else. And the city and county didn't even find out who shot that boy. But because of the snitch code, the other boy that was shot didn't even go and turn the other boy in. Because why? They not snitching. You understand me? But that boy didn't even go and retaliate to another person that shot him at the doggone bus stop. He wasn't even in a car. He was at the bus stop. So what kind of gangster is that that's got to get on a bus? You understand what I'm saying? I'm very sick and tired of our people accepting the narrative of what this country say our children are.
Yes,
we don't
want
to upset you,
sister. Absolutely.
Well, the free land. One of the things.
Was true 12-year-old boy a gangster? Was true 12-year-old boy who was murdered with a Bible in his pocket, was he a gangster? Her son was murdered. Was he a gangster with a Bible in his pocket? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, one of the things we got to do is we got to up the ante and make this government really understand and place the proper value on the lives of black folks. And until we do that, there's not going to be a change. And in order to do that, we have to do what we see other races and ethnic groups doing in America when something happened to them. They don't just protest. They don't just march. They hit where it hurts.
Okay, just one available.
Now, I can just give a recent example. When Trump supporters come out just this week, and what did the truckers do? They come to shut down New York to make an economic impact on New York. Talking dollars and cents. The oppressor understanding when you talk dollars and cents. So that's one of the languages we have to speak.
It's about mental slavery, brother. It's about mental slavery. Our people are in bondage. It's about mental slavery. Our people are in mental slavery. You heard someone say the psychology. As far as we're losing psychologically, first and foremost.
Well, that's going to continue to happen. That's going to continue to be the case until we respond by establishing our, we got to reignite the independent black school movement. We got to promote the homes, Afrocentric home schools and other black schools and stop sending our kids to these white institutions and these public schools that's brainwashing them and miseducating them.
And they need to cough up the money so single mothers can be able to do that. Because I'm dealing with the same issue in San Francisco. They need to cough up the money. If you look at, if it's